Last time I was at a gay bar, I was told I was a bear. Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Benson. That's Paul Schultz. And nothing you're about to hear is true.
That's right.
So I accidentally, keeping with the theme of the last several weeks, I accidentally posted a status that kind of went viral on its own.
Oh, yeah?
I say viral. It's not really. I mean, you get 25, 30 people to comment. To me, that's viral. I'm like, man, I can't get 25 people to do anything.
When you're a middle-aged father, that's viral.
That's true. Well, you know what they say. Every time something's going around, they're like, the elderly and the very young and pregnant women are especially susceptible.
That's right.
So don't take much of a virus. Anyway, I saw another one of my friends who, she's like one of those friends that's not friends with a lot of other of my friends, you know, one of those kind.
Mm-hmm.
And she posted simply, what's your favorite book of all time?
Mm-hmm.
And I was about the eighth commenter, and no one had posted the Bible, and I was like, so I commented, if I, you know, I love your friends, I said, we're eight into this and nobody has said the Bible. I said, if I put this on my status, like 45% of the answers will be the Bible. I said, as a matter of fact, I'm going to try it and I'll report back.
Yeah,
so I went over and I put, what's your favorite book of all time? We are over 30 commenters now, and not one, well, there is one, the Bible. There is also one, The Art of the Deal by Donald J. Trump. Both of those were my wife. Which tells me she was able to see my comment on my other friend's post.
She's watching you, man.
Of course, Matthew Bechtel commented on that. He replied to her comment. When I read this, my eyes saw Vincent the Bible, like Steve had his own version of a Bible in the religion of Vincentism. In due time, my friend.
Yes.
Hey, it's a good thing humanity is not depending on me to finish a book.
That's right. That's right. And there'll be no hand puppets in your religion, though.
That's true. No hand puppets. Hey, if God were like me, we'd still be waiting for the Bible. The religion would be all about someday God's going to finish this great book. He just had some more ideas.
We've got total faith in him.
Yeah. I keep telling that motherfucker to write.
That was John the Baptist. I believe a quote from John the Baptist.
Man, I'm a word-dropping motherfucker.
I'm a baptizing motherfucker.
Normally.
Ain't gonna water up the nose or nothing.
Oh, we're not done with that one.
Sorry. I am now. It just came.
Dude, I'd be putting letters together and making words out of them and then putting those words together to make sentences. Motherfucker. I'll just pause to make sure we don't think of any more. All right. Anyway, so Facebook question of the week, dear listeners. And we'll come back later in the episode to see how many more than 30 we got. Is what is your favorite book of all time?
You forgot to say go.
Go. This is the time of year when normally this is our third year. So we finished two. We're in our third year now. I had to have that whole conversation with my daughter about, she turned 12. I was like, this is your 13th year. She's like, no, it's my 12th. And I was like, no, it's your 13th. That's not right. I was like, well, what year was it before you turn one. Was it your zeroth year? No, it was my first year. I was like, right, then you turned one. Then what was it? My first year. No, wait, you just had your first. So then we talked about the year 2000 versus 2001 and the millennium and all that stuff. And I was like, man, it's good to have kids because you have those conversations that used to annoy the shit out of you.
Yeah.
That you haven't had for 15 years.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the third year we've been doing this show.
Uh-huh.
And it's this very week when normally we'd be doing the Super Bowl episode.
Right.
We kind of stumbled into the Super Bowl episode our first year.
Yeah.
And then we liked it so much that we decided to continue having Super Bowl episodes. So this would be the third annual Super Bowl episode. But Paul and I both forgot it was Super Bowl week.
It totally eluded me. Because, you know, I'm all about the football. And
well, you reminded me by showing me your Atlanta Falcons helmet.
Let the record show it's not an actual full-size helmet. It's like a pencil holder with a cool little drawer in the back.
Noted.
My brother took my Patriots helmet, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
What'd he do to it?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
Well, the main reason we're not doing a Super Bowl episode this year is I don't really give a shit. I am going to a Super Bowl party,
well,
as I do every year, but there will be no celebration of the Super Bowl. I'm just getting sick of it.
Right. Well, when the majority of the people that I talk to, after I realized that it was coming up, the majority of the people that I've talked to, they're the same boat you are. They just don't give a shit.
So, nobody gives a shit.
Nobody gives a shit.
If you don't live in New England or within a 20-mile radius of downtown Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
you don't give a shit this year. Nobody gives a shit. Who the hell are the Atlanta Falcons?
Right.
How long have they even been around? Nobody even really... They're probably one of those teams that transferred from somewhere else.
They've been around at least 30 years, because I got this helmet in like 1988, probably, 87,
wow.
Probably, so yeah. I don't even know where I got it, or why I have it, for that matter.
But you still have it, is the funny thing.
Yes.
The fact that it somehow ended up in your possession isn't as funny as the idea that you still have it.
I also have a Tampa Bay over there, and a Chicago Bears helmet, too. But like I said, my brother took my Patriots.
Someday they'll be in the Super Bowl.
That's right. And with any luck, we'll still be doing this show.
And the truth of the matter is, I don't really even give a shit about football anymore. I used to be into it. The mm-hmm. listeners know that. I used to talk about it. I couldn't tell you anything about this year's Super Bowl. I think they're fucking it up. I think they're... I don't know what they're doing, but it's just not interesting anymore. It used to be interesting, but now it's just repetitive and boring.
It's kind of like sex. Said me never.
Said nobody I know. All right, why don't we take a little break, and then when we hang on. Oh, that's the super secret friend of the show hotline. Sponsored by Sun King. We better, here, let me go. Look, tell you what, before we take a break, let's get this, see who it is. And then, then we'll figure out what to do from there. Right?
All right.
Hello, Don't Panic Radio Show.
Hey, it's Superfan James.
Superfan James!
Superfan James!
It's MJ! <That's>... It's good to have you calling in, man. It's been way too long.
It has.
What have you been up to lately?
Oh, dad stuff, pretty much.
That's great. All right, on with the show. It's funny that you should call in, because I was just telling Paul, you know, there's this new gaming system out there that I've been seeing ads for that we should ask SFJ about. But before we get to that, why don't we? I know you just got here, but Paul and I, we've been working.
That's right.
And I'm a little parched. So why don't we take a short break? When we come back, we'll do some headlines. If you got time, you can stick around and do them with us.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
There are more than 200 million people living in the United States today. 51 of them are Soviet deep cover agents, hypnotically programmed to become instruments of total destruction. They don't know who they are, but one man knows that all it will take to trigger them is a simple phone call.
Bascom's auto repair.
The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. Remember, Nicolene, miles to go before you sleep.
MGM presents Telephone, code name for the most explosive motion picture of the year. Starring Charles Bronson as Major Grigory Borzov of the KGB.
In all the world, who is the most secret agent? Anyone who manages to stay secret.
He has a photographic memory.
Nothing in there must be written down, only transferred to your memory.
He will do anything he has to stop Telephone. Also starring Lee Remick.
Who are all those men whose names you've written? And why all the cities and the map?
I'd like to go back to Moscow remembering you as being alive. Can you help me accomplish that?
She's a secret agent with more than one secret.
The KGB believes in you. Just follow their orders. Kill him when he's killed Alchemsky.
She will do anything she's told to stop Telephone.
If he talks, it could possibly start a nuclear war. We can't gamble that it won't.
Together, they must accomplish what the two most sophisticated intelligence organizations in the world cannot.
That's how Delchinsky's been doing it.
Even simpler, he uses the telephone.
It will take them on a desperate chase across two continents, pit them against their own governments, and lead them into incredible danger. The next time your phone rings, how do you know it won't be your turn? You'll never know. Until you see Charles Bronson, Lee Remick, and Donald Pleasance in Telephone.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. We still have Superfan James here. Let's do a little headlines. First one I found. I promise I did not read the article, and you know how this works. All right, this one is from the New York Times. Bush's daughter sends message about Trump's immigration ban. This is not the America I know. So what the hell America does she know?
How old is she?
The one where it's like, well, we'll let you in, but first we're gonna come to you. It's like, you might want to come here, but hold on. No, we'll come to you.
Yeah, with bombs.
With bombs. And I don't know which daughter it was, but I'd like to think it was the one that was always partying and got like filmed in front of that nightclub all drunk and falling all over the sidewalk. Because I
love that. Could have been her father, too.
That could have been her father. Years ago, yeah. He could have been high on coke.
I love the one, the meme you sent me the other day, where after the inauguration, you're like, yeah, I know I said I wasn't going to do these, but, and it's the George Bush is still George Bush, where he's got the fucking bag over his head.
Oh, in case you didn't see it, he's sitting there at the inauguration, and it's raining, and everybody's got these plastic, like, raincoat things on their laps. And, like, frame one, he's just sitting there with that George W. Bush look on his face. And frame two, the thing's blowing up in his face and his arms are flailing all over the place. And in frame three, his arms are down and it's just sitting there on his face and he'd like given up. And the caption was, it's nice to know George W. Bush is still George W. Bush. Oh, that was hilarious. It's like, it was a simpler time. You remember when the protests were about going to war with people? In countries that's far away from us.
Oh, 2 weeks ago, it was a simple, wait.
Now the protests are about not being at war here on our own soil. This is getting to be too politicky. The next headline, this one is from BBC, and it also has a video that goes with it. which I'll play after I read the headline. That's a little more research than I normally do, but I couldn't resist because there was a guy with a funny wig in the video. This is from our friends across the pond.
What does BBC stand for?
Ach, all good. Oh, you mean in the context of this headline? The main reason I picked out this headline was because it has MP in it. Brexit. MPs overwhelmingly back Article 50 bill, which starts the negotiations for Great Britain's exit from Europe. The Article 50 being part of the Lisbon Treaty, which formed the European Union. MPs, I believe that stands for misplaced cavalier. Normally. But in this context, I mean, if you're talking about BBC, you might be talking about MP Cavalier.
Just,
but when you're talking about the BBC, as in here, we're talking about ministers of parliament. Parliament. God, I love that band. So, the two reasons I picked it out. One, MPs. Two, dude with a funny wig. Here's a little video.
Do we trust the people or not?
We are in the Labour Party above all Democrats.
I believe this House does not have a choice, but has a duty to withhold from the government to proceed with Brexit.
Duty.
To vote against the majority verdict, I think it would provoke a deep constitutional crisis in our country.
And we are not going to allow this enormous act of madness from this House.
The ayes to the right, 498. The noes to the left,
114. The ayes to the right, 498. The noes to the left, 114. So the ayes have it. The ayes have it.
The British, who think of us as, you know, being uncivilized and, you know, the Wild West and a bunch of cowboys. That's their parliament.
Right.
We had one guy at one of Obama's State of the Union addresses yell out, "You lie!" And, like, the world lost its damn mind.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? But it is our duty. Okay, now, this next headline is this is the part where I get to take a break and let you guys do the heavy lifting. The headline is Minecraft for Nintendo Switch will be the game's best version. Other titles have been announced for Switch as well. So I have no idea, other than I've seen these ads for Nintendo Switch. Is this like Nintendo's answer to the Xbox? Or is this like Nintendo's answer to the to Atari's latest platform? So now with a gaming update, we have Superfan James.
Well, to answer your question, every several years, there the three major companies that push out home consoles, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, they put out a new home console, and this, we were just in Generation 7, I think it is, and we're going into Generation 8, Generation 7 being the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, and the Nintendo Wii U. And so the Nintendo Switch is going to be the first console in the next generation. So the Nintendo Switch is going to be supposed to be superior to the Wii U. But so far what we know from it is only really going to rival the power of like last gen's system, like PS4 and Xbox One.
So they're like one behind.
They've always really been. Nintendo doesn't focus on power as much as just creating fun games. The death knell for the Wii U was that it just had no third-party support. Third-party companies that had no association with Nintendo really wanted to put their game on the Wii U. They've always dominated with first-party games, as like Mario, Legend of Zelda, Fire Emblem, games like these. But with the Wii, the Nintendo Switch, they've upped the power to current gen, and are really trying hard to rope in third-party companies, which they've already secured a Skyrim game, which is owned by Bethesda, who has not released a game on a Nintendo system before that I know of.
What is Skyrim? Because that sounds like a move I used to do when I was in college.
It's the...
Chicks digged it, by the way.
It's the fifth installment of the Elder Scrolls game series.
Oh, that's all you had to say. All right. All right, got it. Elder Scrolls. That's another move I used to do a couple weeks ago.
I thought it's what you... I thought that's what you do when you sit on the toilet flipping through your phone.
Yes, Elder Scrolls. Oh, I'm going to hit return anytime now. All this scrolling.
They haven't released the name of the they released a couple trailers depicting what like the Nintendo Switch is going to be and like what it can do, and they like showed a bunch of different games that they showed game footage of games of that's going to be on the Nintendo Switch. And one of the games that was shown that doesn't actually, they haven't released a title for, looks like an NBA 2K17, which is, I think, was a game series that never really made it to Nintendo platform before. I could be wrong.
Do you think we'll still be like in 2090? Do you think we'll be going 2K90?
At that point, they'll probably call it 3KO.
Yeah, in 2090, it'll be 3K-10. So if I follow you, Nintendo has been focused on making their own games,
pretty much.
And now they're looking at opening up to allowing third parties to write games for their.
They've always wanted to. It's just because of the lack of power that their systems had. These video game companies who were pushing the envelope on technology would have had to rein that back to get it to work on the Nintendo Wii or the Wii U. So that now that they're like Nintendo's pushing the envelope of technology and like having somewhat cutting edge technology, it's less work for video game companies to create. Like make another port for like, if it's going to be on like the PS4, the Xbox One, it would be easy for them to make it for all three instead of just the two.
Why did Nintendo wait? Why wait so long to up the power? Isn't it just a matter of throwing in some more parallel processors?
It's that like, it's expensive technology because they also want to make their systems, accessible, where like 360, Xbox Ones and PS4 were slated at $399 and $499 at launch. They think that's really expensive when you can go out and buy, like, when the Wii U first came out, it was $259 and $299, and actually the Nintendo Switch is going to be $299. So they were sacrificing power for cost, so that like they can get it out.
As the cost of processing goes down, all boats rise in a high tide, right? They'll all get more powerful. Nintendo better figure it out, right? Maybe because as the price of more power comes down, well, Xbox and PlayStation will stay in the same, you know, and so Microsoft and Sony will continue to raise their power and Nintendo will always be playing catch up, right?
Yeah. I haven't heard any rumors about the like Sony or Microsoft pushing out like another system. So this could technically be like a Gen 7 system where it's now no longer Wii U. When you think of Gen 7, you think of like Nintendo Switch, because they're all generally on the same platform for power. So like when Sony and Microsoft do push out their next system, I could see Nintendo pushing out another system, even if it's like 2 years from now, or both Sony and Microsoft have actually pushed out a new version of their system. Sony pushed out the PS4 Pro, and the Microsoft pushed out Xbox One Slim. The Pro has the ability to display games in like 4K resolution. It's a little bit faster. It comes with like a solid state hard drive, I believe. So loading times are much faster. Like the games are going to look a lot better. So I could see them like waiting a little bit longer. So now like it's looks like it's going to be just Xbox One, PS4, and Nintendo Switch in the Gen 7 slots.
What's the aftermarket like? So if I buy the Nintendo Switch, and then next year they come out with Gen 9 or whatever the next generation is, what do I just have to? Can I sell my old Xbox One and buy a new buy the Xbox Two, or what do I?
Yes, especially like around like GameStop does it. I don't at a certain point after a console releases, either if it's just right after, or a short time after, GameStop will say if you trade in your old gen system, like Xbox 2 comes out, if you have an Xbox One, you can trade in your Xbox One and get a like a significant markup on the trade-in value for your Xbox One towards the new system, whether it be the Xbox 2, the PS5, or what have you. So yeah, like you, if you had like a Wii,
is that a relatively new thing?
No, they GameStop has have accepted trade-ins where you trade in your old games and systems for in-store credit. They've done that for probably.
Well, I know they did it for games and stuff. I just wasn't sure about like consoles and things like that.
I think they've done that for a very long time, but something new that they've actually started doing is trading in other electronics. They used to only do like gaming systems and games, but now they accept tablets, phones. I think that's it.
VHS tapes?
I'm afraid not.
8-tracks.
This is that whole world is, you know, but for the grace of God go I, because I fucking love playing video games. And if I had remained single, the problem is when I was single, the technology just didn't.
Yeah,
you know, it was, you know, I'm sure.
See, when you were single, like the Super Nintendo came out.
I get into things too much. I'm just too. I know me. I've seen me do it. I could totally get into all that stuff. Now, I sometimes think, are we depriving our kids? Because they love video games too, and they have found, this is how you know this technology is just going to become native, because my kids have found all these free online video games that you just play in your browser, and they love them, and they're always finding new ones, and their friends tell them about new ones, and I think, and we stole somebody's Wii. Well, actually, they loaned it to us, and then we never returned it. Is that like stealing? It's sort of like stealing. But anyway.
Yeah, the dictionary definition of stealing.
I don't know what generation it is, but I swear to God, you guys will know what I'm talking about. The technology, like you look at it, and it's like the characters are like, and like their head is like a round thing. It's like a ball for their head, like a triangle for a body. They're just like, oh, yeah, this is fun. Boop, boop. And then I'm like, that's kind of fun. Now, what's really fun is the like immersive first person shooter games where you're like there, right? You're like, I'm sure that, that you, James, are very well balanced in that you're able to balance your leisure time and relax with a nice game from time to time after you've taken care of all of your responsibilities. Am I correct?
No.
Wait, hand. Which one is this lacking on? The responsibility or the video game?
Both. Yeah, I try to balance it. I guess this is it says something about it, maybe, or it just says like how much she doesn't speak up, but like she's never like looked at me and be like, you play too many video games, or like she's never looked at me like, you spend like too much, you spend more time on video games than you do me and the kid. So like, I don't think I play too many video games.
She's tried to tell you that before, but you couldn't hear her.
James, you need to spend a little more time on me and less time on your video games.
She came out in a nice negligee.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is that what they still call it? Negligee? She goes, oh, super fan. She's like, SFJ, look what I bought. I bought this just for you. And she's got like the fuzzy slippers.
She's the, even calling him by chiffon. Our nickname to try to entice him.
Yeah. Like, come on, SFJ. You're like, I told you, don't bother me while I'm playing my Xbox.
I'm a hard-working man, I'm doing the best I can. The whole time I'm working, you're loving another man. I bought you a new dress, you said you needed shoes. I gave you money to buy food for the kids, you spent it all on booze. You're a no-good woman. Gonna drive me to my grave. Ain't gonna be your big black. Ain't gonna be your big black funky slave. Home this evening, dead on my feet. You got me working two jobs, trying to make ends meet. I'm hungry as a bear, and you ain't got nothing to eat. And now you want me to babysit while you run the street. You're a no good woman. Ain't gonna be your big black slave. Ain't gonna be your slave.
Well, we're in the home stretch, boys, and we were talking before you called, James, about the Facebook question of the week, And I accidentally asked it well before the show started. I
noticed that, actually.
Did you? It was not on purpose. It was sort of I was saying in the beginning of the show, for those of you just tuning in, we're going to recap the first 10 minutes. A friend of mine had posted that exact same status, and I lamented that if I put that on my status, I would get 45% of the answers would be the Bible. It's like, and I said, in fact, I'm going to go try it right now. And I went and did that, mm-hmm. and I get, well, let's see, we're up to 34 people have commented.
See, I thought I was late. When you post that, I'm like, oh shit, I got to get signed in. Oh no, wait, he did that early.
So. Yeah. So 34 people have commented, and that doesn't count the people who have replied to comments on people's comment, replied to people's comments. As I said at the beginning of the show, we've had one, the Bible, and we've had one, The Art of the Deal by Donald J. Trump, and they were both my wife. And we don't have a copy of either of those books in our house. I don't think technically the Bible is a good answer, because isn't that like a bunch of books? Would that be like saying the encyclopedia is my favorite book?
It's only one book. Depending on who you ask.
My Bible has a bunch of books. It's got the book of Genesis, the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Isosceles, the book of Pythagorean, the book of Psalms, the book of Matthew, the book of Galatians, Galactica. It's got all those books. I don't know about your Bible. The very first answer was from Abby Williams, who is the director of admissions and communications at my children's school. So mm-hmm. this bodes well for the school we've chosen for my kids.
We're off to a good start.
Of Mice and Men.
There you go. You know what's funny? As soon as I saw that, I instantly checked out her Facebook page.
Oh yeah, well, you were stalking right away. You're like, damn, they got to have gone on spring break at some point,
right?
I ain't gonna lie, man. That I'm the creepiest of the creepy, and I'm glad that you can't tell, that Facebook doesn't allow you to tell who's looking at your Facebook page. I'm like,
do you do the same thing I do, where you're like real careful. You're like, God, I don't want to hit that button.
I hit the like button. This is when we went to Cozumel. I almost never wear a bikini. Oops, I just hit like.
That post was from 3 years ago. Oh shit.
This is when my husband got me drunk and I accidentally took my top off. You're like, oh, comment. Oh, shit. Or I'm trying to message you. Like, I'm going to message you something. And I'll be like, I know, right? Oops. I just commented. Anyway. Leah Jackman Whitener. It's another one of those hyphenated names. Like, what do you do with the kids?
I'm going to hyphenate my name. I haven't figured out where yet.
Power.
Yeah.
Illusions. And then we have Keith Hodling with Catcher in the Rye. Caitlin Benson, which is one of my cousin's daughters, House of the Scorpion. James, tell me about House of the Scorpion.
It's a it was a book that I read about the same time she did, about in middle school. It is in a future where the government doesn't really have a lot of control. The United States is like no longer the prosperous world it was. Mexico is like stretched a great deal into the United States, and it follows a.
I mean, the obvious thing for me to say here is, so it's about now.
Yeah,
that's right.
See, but not for much longer. Pretty soon, we will push Mexico back to Mexico, and we will make America excellent again. Great, sir. Great, great again. We'll make it great again. I thought we agreed on terrific. Where is it? No, great.
It's a great, sir. I know it's great.
Sorry. That was Steve Bannon was talking over his shoulder. All right, go on. It's the future. It's dystopic. It's dystopian.
It follows a opium lord who has lived a lot longer than he's he should have because he has created clones of himself, and so whenever like he needs like a heart, like they take a clone who is about, you know, the right enough age, and like kill it and then take the heart out so that he can have like a new heart or like a new kidney, like whenever the
you know what that sounds like? Wasn't that a movie? Like but there was a movie where there were clones, like you could pay to have a clone made of you, and then it lived in this alternate world, and then when you needed an organ, it was DNA perfect match because it was your clone. So all these rich people had these clones. You guys remember that? What movie was that?
No, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Like Otherworld or something like that. And then the clones got wind of this and like wanted to break out. Anyway. Huh. Hey, what about Deadbeat by Jim Butcher?
You want to go into the other room? You want to sober up a bit? You got like 2 hours?
Well, I'll answer the second question first.
He loves these books.
Well, so it's a good book.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Wright says Silverchair by C.S. Lewis or The Farthest Shore by Ursula Le Guin. Now, if Andy Wright didn't say the Bible, ain't nobody going to say the Bible, right?
This is true.
My Lovely Bride said Jane Eyre, which I get that one confused with Jane Austen. I don't know why.
You get that confused with Steve Austin.
It's true. Or Lee Austin.
Lee Austin. Or Steve Majors.
Paul, you said if you knew me at all, you wouldn't have to ask such a question, to which your sister replied, D&D manual doesn't count. Boom. Burn.
Oh, she knows me too well.
I believe you've said many times that War of the Worlds is your favorite.
Yes. It's a toss-up between War of the Worlds and the Dogs of War. It's kind of like a war theme. But
Dogs of War, is that's the one where Tude's a mercenary and he gets together a band of mercenaries to go down and overthrow an African country. But instead of overthrowing it and giving it to his client, he returns it to its rightful like person, right?
Did you just read that off of Wikipedia?
No, I've read Dogs of War. You loaned it to me. It was one of my favorite like project management books of all time. And then I lost it. I don't know where it is. Did I give it back to you?
Yes, I have the copy back, yes.
Oh, good, good. I'm going to buy me a copy of that because one of the things that I noticed about that book is, you know, it was one of those moments in my career where I thought, I am overcomplicating this project management thing. Like, this guy is a project manager, and he is writing the best status reports. He's managing his budget super well. He's got his scope down. It's just like if you do away with the twist at the end where he, you know. Spoiler alert. You just go, wow, you would want this guy working for you, whether you wanted to overthrow a Central African Republic or build a bridge or put in some new software.
Well,
you know
what makes that book so good is Forsyth has dabbled in being a mercenary, so he knew what the fuck he was talking about. So yeah, it's an ABC of how to accomplish something. It just, you know, lays it out for you.
Chunk it down. Go step by step. How do you eat an elephant? Maybe try being nice to it. My lovely niece who just had a baby, Lovely Bones. I don't know that book.
It's about a young girl who dies and like her ghost comes back to and tries to help find the her murderer, I think. It came out when I was in school and I remember hearing about it.
I think Sandra Bullock was in the movie.
Well, I'll go see it just for that. So here's one. Tie between Little Women and Pride and Prejudice. That's Sarah Howard Harville. Interestingly, didn't they make an and Zombies about both of those? Little Women and Zombies? Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
Yeah, they did a Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And I think they're making Sense and Sensibilities and Sea Monsters as well.
I love the world we live in.
Jamie Stevens says The Jungle, which is an Upton Sinclair novel, mm-hmm. which is interesting because the way I know Jamie is through work. He's always been in pharmaceuticals and medical device, as I have. And The Jungle by Upton Sinclair was one of the novels that got everybody in North America interested in, hey, where does our food come from? And it was like one of the impetuses to get the government involved in overseeing the food. It was about the meat slaughtering mm-hmm. business in Chicago.
See, I got The Jungle confused with Congo. You can imagine my confusion.
Yeah, I know. When you said The Jungle, I was thinking The Congo by Michael Creed.
Welcome to the jungle. We got slaughtered meat. We are not the Congo by Michael Creighton. The Big Sleep, Necromancer. Wow, Ken. You're dark.
Ken is a very dark individual.
Sarah Popejoy said The Hobbit, which surprised me. Mike Barnes said he reads Starship Troopers every year. What is that? Is it like an anniversary? It's like, oh, time to read Starship Troopers because I feel like I've been having insomnia lately and I need to read long diatribes about forms of government. The movie was way better than the book.
That is one of the few books that I have actually thrown in the garbage when I finished it. I'm not even recycling. I'm like, fuck this. It's going into a landfill. I'm not.
Oh, that's so disappointing because the movie was really good.
So the funny thing about the movie, and I read this in several places, so I believe it to be true. The movie, I believe, was sort of a spoof of the novel. Because the novel was more of a political manifesto.
Yeah.
On why you shouldn't be allowed to vote or be a citizen unless you serve in the military.
Yes.
And the one dude, that's exactly what that thing was. The teacher dude that, you know, with half an arm or whatever, played by that guy that's in every movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know his name. But the guy, the one that said, come on, you apes, you want to live forever? That guy, in the book, apparently in the novel, he gets like a quarter of the novel just to spout off. Like when they're in the academy. Like, that's most of the first half of the book, is they're sitting in the academy listening to this guy talk about how government should be organized around the military. And so the movie was like a spoof of, like, oh, well, here you go. And I actually love the movie. Constance hates it, but I think maybe...
The reason why the movie's a spoof is because, like, Doogie Howser is dressed up like a fucking Nazi in that movie.
That's the reason.
It's a total spoof. that should be like the big red flag.
Yeah, it's got to be one of them.
That it was a spoof. Yeah.
It's afraid. Yeah! I thought best use of tactical nukes in any movie I've seen.
I totally mixed up Starship Troopers with... that movie with Tim Allen and Alan...
Galaxy Quest?
Yes, Galaxy Quest.
Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow?
I somehow mixed up Starship Troopers and Galaxy Quest.
James sitting there like, what are you two motherfuckers talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. Who's Robert S. Heinlein? Who the hell is that?
Oh my god.
That's hilarious.
I've never seen Starship Troopers. I thought it was Galaxy Quest.
I don't know about the novel, but the book's pretty good. I mean,
Never give up. Never surrender.
Talking about the book, and I'm like, how is this fucking movie anything like that?
So we got The Bible, The Art of the Deal by Donald J. Trump.
Oh, my God.
How could The Bible be your favorite book? That's like saying, okay, even if you're a devout Christian, and I know we have listeners who are, I got nothing against that. God bless you. But how can that be your favorite book? I get that you feel like you're supposed to say that, and you know God's watching. If you don't say the Bible, God's going to strike you down. But you know
He's
going to
hear. Say, oh.
You know in your heart, God knows in his heart, and God knows your heart, that the Bible ain't your favorite book. That would be like that'd be like if you're a lawyer saying that, you know, some legal book is your favorite book, or if you're a doctor, like the Anatomy of Man is my favorite book. No, that's your job. Being about the Bible is your job. You have to read the Bible. You don't read it because you want to. You read it because you don't want to go to hell. You must have a book that you enjoy reading that is not the Bible.
Or one thing that I would accept with that is if there was a specific book within the Bible that you enjoyed.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's Galactica. Speaking of Galactica, the Gulag Archipelago.
Mine was Revelation. Mine was Revelation because I was fascinated with it at like the age of 8, and it used to scare my grandma. So that I was so into it.
Well, that's because when your grandma was your age, that shit was going to happen any day. I don't know if you remember that feeling, or if you ever had that feeling.
Oh no. I know.
But the Book of Revelation was not a theoretical, this might happen in the future. It's probably going to happen tomorrow. So if you don't say your prayers when you go to bed, you're going to be on the ass end of Revelations.
That's right.
You'll be on the business end of some fire and brimstone.
In the ass.
In the ass. Oh, that was too complicated. The Tales of Alvin Maker by Orson Scott Card. Never heard of it. Hmm. I love me some Paul Volstorf. The Odyssey. Come on, Mike and DeVita. Really? Really?
No. Really? Trust me. Yes.
Really? Really?
Yes. Mike and DeVita is well, you know, that was like, you know, the prequel, and the prequel's never as good as the sequel.
Well, that's true.
No, it's much, much shorter.
There's that.
He must have loved Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
I just went back and commented that on. I said, Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
You did, didn't you? That's funny. Because you did that 2 minutes ago, and I just said this. Oh, it's all. I swear to God, I did not see your comment. That's hilarious. Oh, that's funny. That is funny. So is there a comedy or George Clooney epic based on the Iliad?
Not to my knowledge. I think that was Batman Forever.
I guess I'm the only one who hasn't said what his favorite book of all time is. I don't.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
What's your favorite book of all time?
The next one.
I don't think I've read that.
I haven't read.
This is where we. This is where we disappear yet. In a cloud of logic.
Well, I would have to say, if we're talking novels, I don't know. I guess I just have to go by which ones have I gone back to time and time again. And probably the books
that
I've read
be the
most.
Definition.
What?
That would be the definition of your favorite novel is the book you keep going back to.
Probably the Book of Johnny. In the New Testament, which is like 3 before Revelations and like 2 after the Book of Acts. No. Well, it's got to be one of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. because I've read those. There was a period in my life for like 2 years where I read nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept going back and rereading those. So it's probably one of those. Of those three, probably The Two Towers was my favorite for a while. But of the three movies, Return of the King was, I think, my favorite. Yeah, so I guess it would have to be one of those. That man could write. That J.R.R. Tolkien motherfucker could write. Talk about putting letters together to make words, and then putting words together to make sentences, and then putting sentences together to make entire universes.
I would have thought you would have picked Of Mice and Men.
I like that book. That's the one with Jimmy Stewart was in that, wasn't he?
Did you ever actually read Of Mice and Men?
Parts of it, yeah.
Okay.
When I was a kid, John Steinbeck was my favorite author. I think that's worth something.
Mm-hmm.
The Grapes of Wrath? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. That was a depressing ass book. Unlike the flowery Of Mice and Men.
Yeah, I mean, Of Mice and Men's uplifting. It's like the
It's a buddy book.
Yeah, it's a buddy book. Bubblegum.
Anyway.
All right, so we're floundering. I mean, I think we're treading water now, so it's probably time to wrap it up. Superfan James, any new business you wanted to cover?
Nothing I can think of.
All right.
Please cover your business.
Paul Schultz, any new business you wanted to cover?
No, I think we're good.
All right, everybody, head on over to doitindieradiohour.com. And just like old times, as soon as you hang up on this show, click on over there, listen to that show, because those guys are our buddies.
Tell the boys over at Don't Panic sent you.
For Superfan James and Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you just heard was true.
She was underwhelmed, if that's a word. I know it's not, 'cause I looked it up. That's one of the skills that I learned in my school. I was overwhelmed, and I'm sure of that one.
I'm not afraid to
I'd like to go back to Moscow remembering you as being alive.